Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, County Taxes May Go Up If These State Items Pass, by Caitlin Randall. Midland County property taxes may be raised if the Texas House and Senate pass several bills that are currently under consideration, commissioners said Monday. One item the commissioner's court discussed Monday was a bill that would allow car dealers to register vehicles in any county. Commissioner Robin Donnelly said if the county loses those vehicle registrations, it will cost about $11.74 per resident that would need to come from other sources. The commissioners also discussed House Bill 3276 regarding election security, which passed out of committee on Monday. If that bill is approved by state lawmakers, Midland County would be required to install additional surveillance cameras at polling locations and have law enforcement officers present during elections, Donnelly said. Another item discussed by the court was House Bill 3315, which would require each county to participate in the Youth Offender Diversion Program. That bill would cost the county about 13 cents per resident, Donnelly said. None of the bills the court discussed would be paid for with state funding, the commissioner said. I just wanted you all to see what happens down in Austin, Donnelly said. They've got some good ideas, but basically they're not providing any money. There are 20 days left in this session of the Texas legislature for lawmakers to vote on any remaining bills. Other items the commissioner said they'd be watching as they're considered on the House and Senate floors are the Constitutional Carry Bill and Bail Reform Bill, which would require more magistrate training for constables and justices of the peace. Additionally, the commissioner's court discussed whether county employees would continue to receive a 4% raise every other year, or if that would be split into a 2% raise each year, or no raise at all. The court opted to table that discussion until the next meeting on May 24th. This article is entitled Celebrating Life. Celebration of Life speaker calls for pro-lifers to send Planned Parenthood a message, by Stuart Doreen. Planned Parenthood doesn't want to go where they are not wanted. Those were the words from a former Planned Parenthood administrator who delivered the keynote speech at a celebration of life this past weekend at the Scarborough Sports Complex. You need to show they do not have the support of Midland, Texas, Abby Johnson said. Make it known Midland is for the unborn. Period. Johnson, author of the book Unplanned, the dramatic true story of a former Planned Parenthood leader's eye-opening journey across the lifeline, delivered an address that included her experience working at a Planned Parenthood clinic in the Bryan College Station area. She said Planned Parenthood officials created quotas when it came to abortions provided. She also said it was while she helped with a procedure that she saw a 13-week-old struggle against abortion instruments. She called the experience the biggest crack in her defense of choice. Johnson told those in attendance about the guilt and the silence that goes with having an abortion and counseling those who go through the abortion procedure. Johnson told those at Grande Communications Stadium that while she has helped more than 600 people leave the abortion industry, she still regrets not speaking up when she had the opportunity to save lives. I stood there and did nothing, Johnson said, recalling the day in 2009 she assisted with the ultrasound-guided abortion procedure. A whole lot of opportunities are being given for people to speak up, and there are a lot of people just standing around. She said some in the pro-life community don't want to offend others on social media and through their words, while the unborn are offended as they are ripped out of their mother's wombs. Lord, I pray your people would be more concerned about offending your heart than offending the hearts of each other, Johnson said during a prayer toward the end of her address. Johnson showed compassion toward those who make the decision to have abortions during the Celebration of Life address. In response to those, she said, have asked, how can any woman have an abortion? She said, fear is a powerful motivator. She said, people just need to look at 2020 to see that fear will motivate us to do things that we never thought we would do. Shame, she said, was a greater motivator that could send even those who grew up in the church to make the decision to end a life. She said, 68% of women who have abortions are churchgoers. We have a problem in our own houses, said Johnson, a Catholic. She said the shame of having an abortion herself trickled down to other women. I was okay with going to hell because I thought what I was doing was worth it, Johnson said. Work was so worthy that it was worth spending an eternity in hell. It is a sickness. A celebration of life brought out local leaders, including Mayor Patrick Peyton and County Judge Terry Johnson. Peyton talked about the unalienable rights that the unborn have, and that cold-blooded killing of humanity is always wrong. Bishop Michael J. Siss, Diocese of San Angelo, reminded those in attendance were there to celebrate the gift of life and to hate the sin while loving the sinner. Joe Pongeman of the Texas Alliance for Life said that action from those in the Texas legislature have helped the number of abortions in Texas fall to about 57,000 in 2017. This is the news page. This article is entitled Midland Northside Lions Club Holds Annual Breakfast, from Staff Reports. Midland Northside Lions Club held its 28th annual We Serve Breakfast, formerly called Bunny Breakfast, fundraiser in the food court at Midland Park Mall on Saturday. The breakfast consisted of sausage biscuits from Texas Roadhouse, scrambled eggs from Charlie's Philly Steaks, potatoes from Sidekicks and Legends, cookies from Fuddruckers, and fruit from Chick-fil-A in the mall. The funds raised will be used by the Midland Northside Lions Club for a variety of projects, including supporting eyeglass recycling, Midland College scholarships, the Texas Lions Camp for Diabetic and Handicapped Children, the Lions International Peace Poster Contest, the Lions International Youth Exchange Program, contributions to local organizations, and a lion drinking fountain. The present sponsors included Beaten Bow Homes, West Texas National Bank, Liberty Tax Service, Cargill Investment Management, Mary Lou Cassidy, Community National Bank, Pristine Organic Cleaners, Henry Resources, MW Builders, D&D Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Corey Sly Electric Service, and Abacus Computers. Advertising sponsors included Reporter Telegram, West Texas Radio Group, and Permian Basin Office Products. Co-sponsors included Midland Park Mall, Rogers Ford, Midland Westside Lions Club, Dove Water, Claydesta LP, Carter Financial Group, Bowler Equipment Service, The Bosworth Company, Midland Health, Action Discount Carpet, and Frost Bank. This article is entitled, Number of Midland County COVID Cases Remains Higher Than 100. From Staff Reports. For the third straight week, the number of COVID-19 cases stayed in triple figures, according to the Midland Health Department. Last week, that number increased from 106 to 108. Midland Health also reported an increase of positive tests, 44, and an increase of the positivity rates, 8.5%, at its testing centers. The number of active patients at Midland Memorial Hospital on Monday nearly doubled, from 7 to 13. This column is called Local and State Briefs, from Staff and Wire Reports. County lifts burn ban. Midland County commissioners on Monday opted to lift the latest burn ban, allowing residents to burn in accordance with Texas state law. A ban on some outside burning had been in effect since March 29th because of a risk of wildfires. The ban was lifted because of recent rains and more rain forecasted, according to a press release from County Fire Marshal Justin Bunch. Midland Police investigate two fatal accidents with pedestrians. The Midland Police Department reported two pedestrians died in 4 days after being struck by vehicles. The accidents took place on Friday and Monday in different areas of the city. On Monday, a collision took place around 6:20 a.m. in the 900 block of South Midkiff Road. The Midland Police Department Traffic Accident Reconstruction Unit was called out to the scene, and a preliminary investigation indicated that 64-year-old Roberto Enriquez was in the roadway when he was struck by the trash truck, a blue 2016 Peterbilt trash truck owned by a private disposal company. On Friday, Midland Police reported that 46-year-old Cheryl Fudge walked into the roadway in the 3900 block of Wadley Avenue and was struck by a truck. Fudge was transported to a local emergency room where she was pronounced deceased. MPD officials also reported the driver stayed on scene and no charges will be filed. Investigations are ongoing. Cavender Auto Family acquiring Alderson Luxury Car Dealerships in Midland and Lubbock. Two Midland auto dealerships are undergoing a change in ownership. Alderson European Motors Mercedes-Benz and Alderson European Motors Sprinter at 5801 Andrews Highway are among Alderson's dealerships in Midland and Lubbock being sold to Cavender Auto Family by Alderson Automotive Group. As part of the sale, San Antonio-based Cavender Company will retain all 230 Alderson associates and rebrand the dealerships with the Cavender name. In addition to the Midland dealership, Cavender is acquiring Alderson European Motors, Mercedes-Benz, Alderson BMW, Alderson Cadillac, Alderson European Motors Sprinter Lubbock, Alderson Lexus, and Audi Lubbock. Austin. Former Texas GOP Senator Don Huffines running for governor. Republican Don Huffines, a former state senator from Dallas, who has sharply criticized Texas's handling of the pandemic, said Monday he will challenge Republican Governor Greg Abbott in 2022. Huffines is a wealthy businessman who has spent the past year rallying with conservative activists around Texas, including outside the governor's mansion in October. Abbott, who did not have a serious primary challenger in his first two campaigns for governor, has faced pressure from within his party over COVID-19 closures and a statewide mask mandate. Huffines, who served one term in the Senate before losing his seat in 2018 to Democrat Nathan Johnson, did not mention Abbott in his announcement. "Plain and simple, our politicians aren't getting things done, and Texans have rightfully run out of patience," Huffines said. Abbott reported having nearly $38 million in his campaign account in January, and his prolific fundraising has been a major obstacle for previous challengers. A Democratic challenger to Abbott next year has yet to emerge, although former Congressman Beto O'Rourke has not ruled out running. Actor Matthew McConaughey is also flirting with a run for governor. San Antonio. 6-year-old girl fatally shot at San Antonio Car Club meetup. A 6-year-old girl was fatally shot after an altercation during a car club meetup in San Antonio, police said. A dispute broke out, and the girl was struck by gunfire into the vehicle she was inside shortly before 11 p.m. Sunday, according to police. The girl's mother was grazed in the back by a bullet, police said. The child was taken to a San Antonio hospital where she died from her injuries, police said. "This is just a very unfortunate event," police spokesman Corey Schuler said. "We're going to do our best to bring whoever is responsible to justice." Police said one person was detained for questioning, but no arrests have been announced. Houston. Video shows tiger in front yard of neighborhood. Authorities on Monday were searching for a Texas man whose tiger was found wandering around a residential area in Houston and who was out on bond on a murder charge. Video of the Sunday night encounter shows the tiger coming face to face with an armed off-duty Waller County Sheriff's deputy, police said. During the encounter, the deputy can be heard yelling at the tiger's caretaker to get the animal back inside. No shots were fired. When officers arrived, the tiger's owner put the animal in a white Jeep Cherokee and drove off, Houston Police Commander Ron Borza said during a news conference Monday. The man got away after a brief pursuit. My main concern right now is focusing on finding him and finding the tiger, because what I don't want him to do is to harm that tiger. We have plenty of places we can take that tiger and keep it safe and give it a home for the rest of its life, Borza said. The man, whose name was not released by authorities, was charged with murder in November in neighboring Fort Bend County and was out on a $250,000 bond. The man also had two monkeys in the home, Borza said. Authorities plan to charge him with evading arrest, Borza said. Having a monkey is not illegal in Houston if the animal is under 30 pounds. Tigers are not allowed within Houston city limits unless the handler, such as a zoo, is licensed to have exotic animals. In 2019, some people who went into an abandoned Houston home to smoke marijuana found a caged tiger. The tiger's owner was later ordered to pay for the animal's care at an East Texas wildlife refuge. Borza said residents should not have such animals because they can be unpredictable. If that tiger was to get out and start doing some damage yesterday, I'm sure one of those citizens would have shot the tiger. We have plenty of neighbors out here with guns, and we don't want to see that. It's not the animal's fault, it's the breeder's fault. It's unacceptable, he said. This is the opinion page. This column is entitled Opinion Extra. MISD community should embrace what U.S. News reported. By Stuart Doreen. U.S. News and World Report showed us that a Midland ISD school, Early College High School at Midland College, is ranked among the top 520 schools in the state. It also provided Midlanders a reminder that the 2019 school bond needed to fail because its plan would not have been best for education in Midland. In terms of academic success, comprehensive high schools just don't measure up in U.S. News and World Report standings. One look at the top 100 shows 17 early college high schools, dozens of high-performing charters and campuses that cater to students seeking higher academic performance, those revolving around STEM and advanced curriculums. If there was an upside to looking at the schools in the top 100, it was the dominance of IDEA campuses. There were 13 in the top 100. Midland ISD has partnered with IDEA, turning Travis into an in-district charter. The school will eventually include a junior high and high school campus. It is likely at least another 3 IDEA schools will be created in Midland as the school has partnered with local philanthropy and the business community to bring as many as 10 campuses to Midland-Odessa. If the U.S. News and World Report rankings are any indication, that should be celebrated by all who hope for better educational outcomes. IDEA campuses in the top 100 include a couple in Brownsville, ranked 8th in the state and 59th overall, McAllen, 18th, Edinburgh, 22nd and 30th, San Juan, 32nd, San Antonio, 38th, Mission, 70th, San Benito, 71st, Donna, 72nd, and Westlake, 87th. If you are wondering how some traditional powerhouse comprehensive high schools rank, here is something. Highland Park High School ranked 42nd, in between 2 IDEA campuses in Austin and Farr, respectively.
Westlake High School in Austin ranked 49th. Frisco ISD had three comprehensive high schools in the top 100. Katy ISD had two, and Coppell had one. Again, anyone who looks at the ratings will see that the comprehensive high schools don't fare well. Midland High School and Lee High Schools rank between 1,241st and 1,524th inside the state of Texas. That was behind Grady High School in Lenora, 706th, Garden City High School, 743rd, Andrews High School, 808th, and Greenwood High School, 1,132nd. We know what is best for education in Midland isn't duplicating what isn't working. Anyone who reads this column regularly knows I believe new superintendent Angelica Ramsey has the tools to become the best leader this district has seen in at least the last two decades. I am rooting for her to be that real deal that our community needs and hope that we as a community aren't her worst enemy by standing in the way of needed reform. By siding with adults, convenience over academic outcomes, and by failing to recognize what is truly best for education in Midland. Midland is the most unique community in the state of Texas, but it would serve this district well to emulate the education strategies we are seeing, not in the Metroplex, but in El Paso and the Rio Grande Valley area, where they are outperforming us on every level, including on their early college high school campuses. Yes, we can and must do better. Count me as one who believes that is possible with Superintendent Ramsey. U.S. News and World Report's ranking matters enough that Midland ISD sent a press release out about early college high school's statewide ranking. That was something to celebrate. But the rankings also served as a reminder. Comprehensive high schools and what worked decades ago aren't necessarily better.
Hello, this is Michael, reading obituaries from the Midland Reporter Telegram, published Tuesday, May 11th. Jeronima Navarez Granillo. Jeronima Navarez Granillo, 88 of Midland, passed away on Thursday, May 6th. She was born to Ascension Morales and Bernardo Navarez on July 14th, 1932, in Santa Barbara, Chihuahua, Mexico. On January 8, 1956, she married the love of her life, Torbio Granillo, and they later settled in Midland. Left to cherish her memory are her three sons, Hector Granillo, Ricky Granillo, and Robert Granillo. Three daughters, Estella Paramo, Gabriela Torres, and Rosalia Granillo, all of Midland. 12 grandchildren, 16 great-grandchildren, and numerous nephews, nieces, and cousins. She was preceded in death by her husband, Toribio Granillo, her parents, Ascension Morales and Bernardo Navarez. Viewings will be held on Sunday, May 9th, 2021, from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m., and Monday, May 10th, 2021, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., with rosaries at 7 p.m. on Sunday and Monday evenings at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral Mass is set for Tuesday, May 11th at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral Mass is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Margie Jean Griffin. Margie Jean Griffin passed away Thursday, May 6th, 2021, in Stanton, Texas. The family received friends on Sunday, May 9th, 2021, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Gilbert Funeral Home in Stanton, Texas. Funeral service was held on Monday, May 10th, 2021, at 10 a.m. at First Baptist Church in Stanton. Burial followed at Evergreen Cemetery. She was born to Albert and Viola Lauder on March 24th, 1929. She married Jack Ayrton in 1950, and they became parents to Dennis in 1955 and Danny in 1960. After Jack's death in 1982, she married John Griffin in 1987. She is survived by her son, Dennis, and wife, Judy Ayrton of Stanton, son, Danny, and wife, Rhonda Ayrton of Stanton, 5 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren. Memorial donations may be made to First Baptist Church, Stanton, Box 1168, Stanton, Texas. Arrangements under the direction of Gilbreth Funeral Home in Stanton, Texas. Online condolences can be made to www.npwelch.com. Death notices published Tuesday, May 11th. Agapida Martinez Munoz. Agapida Martinez Munoz, 82 of Midland, died Saturday, May 8th, 2021 in Midland. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. May 13th, 2021 at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Father Mark Woodruff is officiating. Arrangements are under the direction of Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Howard Lee Fanning Sr. Howard Lee Fanning Sr. passed away Saturday, April 10th, 2021. Mr. Fanning will be interred on May 13th, 2021 at the Fort Sam Houston National Cemetery in San Antonio with military honors. Survivors include sons Howard Lee Jr. and Michael David and daughter Wendy Ann Smith. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. James L. Burnett III. James L. Burnett III, 87 of Midland, passed away May 8, 2021. A memorial service will be held at 3:30 p.m. on Friday, May 14, 2021, at First Baptist Church Chapel in Midland. Survivors include wife Xing Ying Burnett, daughter Dr. Jenny Shu Lee Burnett Gray, and sons James Brian Burnett and Jerry Allen Burnett. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Juan Manuel Puentes Sr. Juan Manuel Puentes Sr., 73 of Midland, passed away Saturday, May 8, 2021. Viewings will be held on Tuesday, May 11th, 2021 from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Wednesday, May 12th, 2021 from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. with rosaries at 7 p.m. on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral Mass is set for Thursday, May 13th, 2021 at 10 a.m. at San Miguel Archangel Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. He's survived by his wife, Maria C. Puentes, 3 sons, Juan Manuel Puentes Jr., Auden Puentes and Julian Puentes, 2 daughters, Erica Sotelo and Sissy Romero. Funeral Mass is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to Pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. Board to discuss uniforms. OA News at OAOA.com. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will discuss a request for approval of School Action Fund RISE, Rapidly Improving School Effectiveness, to implement standardized uniforms at Burnett Elementary School. Burnett received the School Action Fund Planning Grant during the 2020-2021 school year and will be continuing with implementation beginning in the 2021-2022 school year and beyond for school improvement, supplemental agenda materials said. The School Action Fund is multifaceted and can be used for turnaround plans. Standard attire is a recommendation of the RISE program. According to FNCA Legal, the board may adopt rules that require students to wear school uniforms. Students shall wear uniforms beginning on the 90th day after the date on which the board adopts the rules, the material said. Through the School Action Fund grant, all students will be provided a unique uniform enhancement, which must be worn each day. Families are responsible for purchasing the other required uniform items. Economically disadvantaged students will be provided a uniform through the School Action Fund grant if assistance is needed. Beyond the life of the grant, RISE campuses will sustain funding for uniforms with local funds for any student meeting economically disadvantaged requirements and unable to pay for uniforms, the information said. The board will canvass the results of the May 1st election for the Position 4 Board of Trustees spot. The race was won by incumbent Chris Stanley. Jess Christensen ran against him. Other members up for election ran unopposed. Stanley will be sworn in at the meeting along with Delma Abalos, Position 2, Nelson Minyard, Position 7, and Steve Brown, Position 5. The board also will hear a presentation from the Transportation Department, a legislative update, and hiring an executive director for leadership. On the net, tinyurl.com/r3hrptap. Pinwheel may get more development. Carbon capture plant in early stage of discussion. OANews@OAOA.com. Ector County Commissioners today will consider a memorandum of understanding related to the possible construction of a carbon capture plant at Pinwheel, adjacent to the gasoline manufacturing plant being planned there. Officials said the details were still sketchy because the site was only one of those being reviewed for the proposal, which is being referred to as CTV Projects. The memorandum would be with Duff & Phelps, a New York City-based multinational financial consultancy firm whose clients would carry out the project. Wesley Burnett, Director of Economic Development for the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, said Monday that CTV does not stand for Chevron Technology Ventures, which is building a biodiesel plant at Houston with Galveston Bay Biodiesel, and Burnett said the company's identity was being kept confidential for the time being due to the sensitivity of the negotiations. It's a carbon capture project, and we are talking to the company about incentives, he said. Burnett said the availability of land at Pinwheel, 15 miles west of Odessa off I-20, and its infrastructure are two reasons that the area is attractive to companies like Nacero Incorporated of Houston, which has decided to build a $4.7 billion plant to convert natural gas into gasoline. There are a lot of pipelines out there, he said. Construction on the Nacero complex is scheduled to start late this year or early next year, with Ector County and other local entities having granted property tax abatements. Carbon capture is a process by which carbon dioxide emissions from sources like coal-fired power plants are either reused or stored so that they do not enter the atmosphere, according to references. County Judge Debbie Hayes said Monday that the CTV project and Nacero will complement each other and they will both create jobs. In other business, during the 10 a.m. meeting at the County Administration Building at 1010 East 8th Street, the commissioners will. consider County Agent Steve Paz's request to appoint Alexis Roosh, the shared Ector Midland County Extension Agent for Agriculture and Natural Resources. Accept a $1,000 donation from Allura Hair Salon for the Sheriff's Office. Discuss using the Sheriff's Commissary account to buy Motorola radio equipment from the RTC company. Hear Sheriff's Information Technology Specialist Steve White's request to repair radio dishes and antennas at the No Trees and Pinwell Towers that were damaged by storms. Consider Public Works Director Evan Kesey's proposal to install speed bumps at the county cemetery. Discuss joining the National Association of Counties. Review the court's calendar for writing the 2021-22 budget. Consider awarding a contract for jail medical mobile imaging services. Hear Human Resources Director Donna James' report on the possible enactment of an inclement weather emergency closing and evacuation policy. Discuss selling the county's property at 218 Park for $50,000, which Hayes said is less than the market value specified in the judgment of foreclosure and less than the total amount of judgments against the property. Landgraf files legislation to strengthen Monica's Law. OA News at OAOA.com. Austin. Legislation by State Representative Brooks Landgraf, R. Odessa, to bolster the state's online protective order registry, passed out of the Texas House by a vote of 145-1 on Tuesday. Last session, we passed Monica's Law to create the Texas Protective Order Registry to include protective orders issued as a result of domestic violence, Landgraf said. The registry has been a huge success, so we want to improve the tool further with HB 2702 by including protective orders for victims of sexual assault or abuse, indecent assault, stalking, and human trafficking in the database as well. Monica's Law was named in honor of Monica Deming, an Odessa mother who was murdered by an abusive ex-boyfriend in 2015 with multiple protective orders issued against him. He was able to hide his violent past by exploiting the information gap in the system. Prior to the Texas Protective Order Registry going into place, protective orders issued in one county were unknown and inaccessible by law enforcement and courts in another county. Monica's Law closed the information gap that existed between the courts, law enforcement, and the public as it relates to protective orders arising from incidents of domestic violence, so that repeat offenders of domestic abuse can no longer hide their crimes by moving from county to county, Landgraf added. Now, HB 2702 ensures the same thing applies to other horrible acts, like assault and human trafficking. This is all about catching the bad guys and protecting and empowering the public. HB 2702 bolsters the protection the registry provides by amending the language to include protective orders issued under Chapter 7A of the Code of Criminal Procedure. HB 2702 also provides the process for vacated protective orders to be removed from the database. No statute currently provides for the removal of the record when the protective order is vacated by a court. The 87th Texas Legislative Session began in January and is underway through May 31, 2021. In accordance with the Texas Constitution, the state legislature meets for a 140-day regular session every odd-numbered year to vote on legislation and pass a balanced state budget. 465 days. For 465 days, the city has fought a lawsuit brought by the Odessa American to enforce the state law that guarantees the public's right to see basic police records. Through January 6th, the city has spent $112,138.47 of taxpayers' dollars to fight releasing information on crime in Odessa. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County, 17,236 total cases, 370 deaths. ECISD daily cases, 5 students, 2 staff. Midland County, 17,433 total cases, 268 deaths. Texas, 2,914,818 total cases, 50,806 deaths. U.S. cases, 33,508,947 total confirmed, and 596,133 deaths. Find out more at COVIDinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. Quick hits. Comedy benefit. Michael Jr. Comedy event benefiting the Jesus House Women and Children's Center has been scheduled at 7:30 p.m. Friday at First Baptist Church, 709 North Lee Avenue. The JHWCC is a faith-based home that provides food, essential needs, and shelter for homeless mothers and their children. The purpose of JHWCC's 12-month program is designed to provide tools and knowledge that equip and empower residents to achieve self-sufficiency. The JHWCC offers life-changing skills. For tickets, visit tinyurl.com/3H3VZHD2 or tinyurl.com/E4MDS63V. Odessa's Got Talent. Permian Basin Mission Center will present Odessa's Got Talent. Virtual auditions open through May 21st. Finalists compete June 18th. Various cash prizes will be awarded, total $5,000. For more information, visit permianbasinmission.org. From Staff Reports. Closing prices. Posted $61.40. Futures $64.92. Natural gas $2.932. Benchmark U.S. increased 2 cents to $64.92 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Odessa American for Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. Page 3, Section A. Local News Roundup. Recital. The Hispanic Cultural Center of Midland will present Nuestro Legado, Our Legacy, Recital, 2021 performance by Mariachi Los Viajeros and Maestro Ivan Velasco at 6:30 p.m. May 23rd at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 Farm to Market, 1788, Midland. Tickets are $20 for adults and $10 for child. For tickets or more information, call 432-683-4226 or visit www.hccmidland.org or wagnernoel.com. Roll and Read Event. The first 5 Permian Basin's Roll and Read Event has been scheduled from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday at Memorial Garden Park, 4730 East 42nd Street. First 5 Roll and Read focuses on 2 important goals for families: early literacy and physical well-being. There will be reading stations spread across the park, as well as free activities such as lawn games, craft kits, and more. First Five's trained staff will be available to discuss child development and answer other related questions parents may have. The event is free to families with children of all ages, not just those enrolled in First Five programs. Businesses and agencies are invited to be a part of this fun and worthwhile event by providing activities that will engage the whole family. To become a funding partner or to register for a free booth, contact Mercedes Ojeda at 432-552-4003 or ojeda_m@utpb.edu. Council to look at erosion. OANews@oaoa.com. The Odessa Council is expected to approve hiring Midland-based Onyx Contractors, LLC, for $105,000 to oversee an erosion control project at Memorial Gardens during their 6 p.m. Tuesday City Council meeting. Odessa Parks and Recreation Director Steve Patton said the project would address a problem with the drainage culvert under 42nd Street that enters Memorial Gardens near the northwest corner of the park site. The swift current flowing through the culvert into the holding pond area has eroded the soil around the footings of the west pedestrian bridge, Patton explained. The project would encase the bridge footings with a concrete wall and protect the footings from further erosion. The City Council is also expected to renew its 2-year bank depository agreement with BBVA USA for $69,328. The city has been using BBVA USA since 2016, city officials said. Council has indicated that it will hire Onyx Contractors to replace metal roofs on pavilions and restroom building at Woodson Park and Pavilion at Floyd Gwynn Park for $43,835. On the net, odessa-tx.gov/670/city-council. Honored. Photos by Eli Hartman, Odessa American. Karina Garza, left, presents Travis Magnin Elementary's science lab teacher, Sarah Hawkins, with a gift bag during the presentation of her ECISD Elementary Teacher of the Year Award Friday afternoon at Travis Magnin Elementary. ECISD recognizes Employees of the Year by Ruth Campbell, RCAMPBELL at OAOA.com. 6 Ector County ISD employees were recognized with Employee of the Year awards by a small contingent of administrators. Included in the 6 were Elementary Teacher of the Year Sarah Hawkins at Travis Elementary and Cheryl Cunningham as Secondary Teacher of the Year. Other stops were made at Carver Early Education Center, E.K. Downing Elementary, Wilson and Young Middle School, and Permian High School. A second round of deliveries to the remaining employees of the year is being scheduled, a news release said. Hawkins was Teacher of the Year for Travis as well, Principal Amy Russell said. Russell said Hawkins is a science lab teacher for the grade 3 through 5 school, teaching virtually and in person. She also coaches teachers. This is her 3rd year at Travis, but she has taught in other districts and other states and countries. This is her retirement. Hawkins has 5 daughters. Photo by Ruth Campbell, Odessa American. Cheryl Cunningham, who teaches future teachers in ECISD's Career and Technical Education program, gets a hug from Marcy Tomboski, dual credit counselor for the district, after receiving Secondary Teacher of the Year honors Friday. Hawkins said the award was a big, unexpected surprise. When the district group came to her door, Hawkins said her heart started beating really fast. I was looking for a way to hide. I like to be everybody else's cheerleader. I'm the person behind the scenes, so this really got me. I was not expecting any of this, Hawkins said. She added that it was a good feeling to be recognized, but she's not one for the spotlight. One of her daughters, Dallas, a PE aide, encouraged her mom to dress up Friday, but Sarah didn't think anything was going on. Hawkins said she was expecting the full meal Sunday for Mother's Day. I love this job. I love my students. I love my kids. I love my co-workers. If it wasn't for any of them, this wouldn't be possible. I give them all a hard time, and they know it, Hawkins said. Russell said Hawkins was the perfect choice for Elementary Teacher of the Year. She's done so much, Russell said. Like she said, she's a behind-the-scenes worker. She helps me with teachers. She helps me with data. She helps me with grade-level planning. She's one of my leadership team members that helps us with our turnaround plan. She monitors and takes care of the after-school buses for me. It's the perfect choice. I couldn't see a more perfect choice to represent, especially this time of year with COVID, what a true elementary teacher encompasses. Cunningham teaches future teachers in the Career and Technical Education program at George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa. It's well-deserved. It's an honor that is just so well-deserved, Executive Director of CTE Carla Burns said. Cheryl is the kind of teacher that goes above and beyond all the time. You will never meet somebody more selfless than her. She puts her students above everything all the time. We have this new program where we expanded this to UTPB for students to get more upper-level college courses in education. And anytime you implement something new, there's always some great opportunities. And Cheryl has just been paramount in the success that we have so far with this program. She is absolutely amazing and a tremendous blessing to the students of this district. Cunningham, who has been in education for 39 years, 32 of which are with ECISD, said the past 2 years have been difficult. The last 2 years have been the hardest, and I've tried to instill in them, her students, that the personal touch is still important, even though there's always going to be a virtual component, Cunningham said. We run two programs here in ECISD. We do one that is for the child care workforce through OC, and then the new program that is starting up. We have our first group of seniors this year that have gone to OC and UTPB and have earned 21 hours off of their UTPB transcripts for the education program off of their bachelor's degree as they graduate high school. But next year, we're going to start Future Teachers of Odessa. They can get up to 78 college credits if they start in the teaching program when they're in the ninth grade. It's an amazing opportunity because you take 2 full years plus before you ever get out of high school, and there is no cost to them, Cunningham said. Although the recognition is nice, especially given the last 2 school years, Cunningham said it's still all about the kids. She noted that it hasn't been as difficult for younger teachers to make the transition to a virtual world. They have grown up with computers. I'm self-taught, and so it's harder for me to adjust to the box than this generation. They'll be very effective. I think technology is here to stay in the classroom more than ever in a whole different manner. But it's amazing seeing that they're still wanting to teach, Cunningham said. Smithsonian Traveling Exhibit coming to Basin. OA News at OAOA.com. Ahead of the Smithsonian Waterways exhibition arriving in the Odessa Midland area later this year, organizers have set up a social media blitz called hashtag Show Us Your Flowers campaign for Friday. Organizations with a beautiful garden or flowers on its grounds can snap a quick photo and share it with @ Museum on Main Street on Twitter or @ Sites Exhibitions on Instagram using hashtag show us your flowers. The goals are to celebrate the spring season and give the host venues the opportunity to participate in a fun, uplifting, and easy campaign, and to make connections with Waterways exhibition content. On Friday around 8:30 a.m. Central Time, at symbol Museum on Main Street on Twitter, and at symbol Sites Exhibitions on Instagram, we'll post a prompt that says, hashtag show us your flowers. The Smithsonian website says the Waterways exhibit from Museum on Main Street takes a deep look at water component of life on our planet, which powers the environment's engine, impacts climate, and helps shape and sculpt the landscape. Humans and animals rely on water for health, hydration, food supplies, and hygiene. Host venues may also invite their visitors and followers on social media to participate by using the hashtag and showing their flowers. Currently, the exhibit will run November 13th through January 1st, 2022 at Midland College, and then January 8th through February 26th, 2022 at University of Texas Permian Basin. From March 5th, 2022 through April 30th, 2022, it will be at Centennial Museum and Chihuahuan Desert Gardens in El Paso. On the net, tinyurl.com/4VPJ6WEP. UTPB offering application help. OANews@OAOA.com. University of Texas Permian Basin wants to help you make applying for FAFSA, TASFA, and or to UTPB as easy as possible. Every Tuesday night, beginning at 6 p.m. today, in room 2221 of the Mesa Building, through the end of June, UTPB will welcome the community to campus to help guide them through the different application processes. Students looking to take the next step to higher education, along with their parents or guardians, are welcome. Representatives from the Offices of Admissions and Financial Aid will be on hand to help personally assist those who attend. Spanish-speaking representatives will also be available. Everyone is encouraged to complete the application by June 30th in order to receive funding in time for the start of the fall semester. On the net, utpb.edu. Hello. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. Death Notices. William Bill Shelton, Odessa. William Bill Shelton, 64, of Odessa, died Sunday, May 9th, 2021, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m., May 13th, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Dr. Richard Bartlett is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Terry D. Shoemake, Odessa. Terry D. Shoemake, 74, of Odessa, died Thursday, May 6th, 2021, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Billy Mack Williams, Jr., Lubbock. Billy Mack Williams, Jr., 61, of Odessa, died Wednesday, May 5th, 2021, in Lubbock, Texas. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. David Jesse Minjares. Minjares is spelled M-I-N-J-A-R-E-Z. Odessa. David Jesse Minjares, 68, of Gardendale, died Wednesday, May 5th, 2021, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Thursday, May 13th, 2021, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Burial will follow at the Ettrick County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Agapita Martinez Munoz, Midland. Agapita Martinez Munoz, 82, of Midland, died Saturday, May 8, 2021, in Midland. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. May 13, 2021, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Father Mark Woodruff is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.